When considering our offering to God, keep in mind and heart that a day is coming wherein He will judge the use and fruit of the abilities He has given. Listen now to the Chapel Platform coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Bob Jones III welcomes evangelist Dr. Phil Schuller back to the Chapel Platform. Dr. Schuller, evangelist from Rocky Mount, North Carolina, preached this message on the will of God on Thursday, March 1, 1984. His text is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 14. A searing question to ask ourselves is, what do we do with that which the Lord gives to us? Are we truly using it to our service or in envy of others? Or are we imprisoned in comfort? Let's listen to this warning and take to heart the reality of facing our Lord Jesus and answering to Him about our service to Him with the gifts and abilities He has graciously given to those who are His. His message is titled, The Parable of the Talents.
Dad was going to preach today in chapel, but when he heard how blessed we were with the ministry of Dr. Schuller on Tuesday, and Dad was over there at the meeting on Tuesday also, and Morningside Baptist Church that night, and he felt compelled to ask Dr. Schuller to speak to us again. He's a great man of God. We love him. We thank God for him. And his ministry always stirs my own heart. I love to hear him preach. I love to sit under the sound of the Word as he speaks it forth. We're glad to have you here today. May God bless you. In your Bible, please, Matthew 25, very quickly. Matthew 25. Now, I'm going to give one of the parables that Jesus gave. Let me just stop a minute here and define what a parable is. A parable is a parallel teaching always pointing to a greater truth. Nicodemus couldn't understand the new birth, so Jesus compared it to the wind blowing through the trees. He understood that. What he was saying to Nicodemus is, you know, you can't tell where the wind comes from, whence the wind comes, or where it goes. He said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, you feel the wind, you get the benefit of the wind, you enjoy what the wind does, but you can't tell anything about the wind. You can't describe where it comes, where it goes. So you can't put your fingers on the new birth. You can't actually explain it, but you can benefit by it. That's what he's talking about, always teaching in parabolic form. Here's one of the parables now, if you will, please. Starting at the 14th verse of the 25th chapter of Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. Now, I resemble that to God Almighty taking His Son upon this earth and bringing Him back now to heaven. He travels into a far country, who calls His own servants and delivers unto them His goods. And unto one He gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Now, boys and girls, if you hear of some nutty screwball doctrine, depend on the fact that it came from California. Everything blows usually out of San Francisco. If you get some sky-ruey doctrine, it's usually out of the California area, especially around the San Francisco area. Now, years ago, in a pretty good school now, they fired this fella, but they fired him too late. There was a professor in a school out there that taught one giftism. Now, this will be taught you here, at least it will be expressed to you by the teachers. They'll explain it to you. One giftism is on this wise. They say that at the time of conversion, God gave gifts to men, but He only gave one gift. Dr. Monroe Parker once said that truth and error went swimming. And error got out first and stole truth's clothing. When truth got out, he was too proud to wear error's clothing. So whenever you see error, he's always clothed with some truth. But whenever you see the real truth, it's always the naked truth. Now here's the example. Whenever you see error, it's always clothed in some truth. This fellow says God gives gifts to men. That's true. At conversion, God does give gifts to men. Every one of you who have, just as soon as you were saved, had something that God wanted you in His foreknowledge to do, and He gave you a gift to do that. But He doesn't just give one gift to men. Some He gives many gifts according to His several ability. Now, you'll never know what your gift is till you exercise it. You say, oh, I'd like to do what that man does. Man, look at that pastor over there. Look at that teacher over there. I'd like to do it. Well, then get going. Do it. Exercise it. Find out if you have that gift. If you have, exercise that gift. That's what he's talking about here. Now, let's look for just a moment. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, now there's your church age, the Lord of those servants cometh, there's the rapture, and reckoneth with them, there's the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. So he that had received the 5 talents came and brought of the 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. There's your millennium reign. Now the Mormons say you build a Godhead. Again, there's, you see, here you go. Error's always close some truth. God Almighty does reward you for what you do on this earth. If you're faithful to the talents that God gave you, He's going to reward you openly, and I believe that will be during the millennium reign. We will reign with Christ. I know some preachers are going to be shining shoes for ushers during the millennium because they didn't exercise their talents. They had a big salary and they retired a little early. But the ushers kept on keeping on for Christ, you see. All right, now listen. He that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And I say, oh, isn't that a shame, Shuler? Why? Why, it's a shame he didn't have what the other fellow had, 5 talents, you see. Then, if he would have had 5 talents, he would have received the same reward. He did receive the same reward. Look down here. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. You say, but wait a minute. He only had 2. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. put it the best I ever heard it. He said there are some 8-cylinder Christians and some 6-cylinder Christians and some 4-cylinder Christians. He said, God never counted your cylinders. He only sees that you're hitting on all He gave you. See? Every one of you are different, one from another. God doesn't look at the one that has many talents and says, my, he's much better. No, he's just looking to see that you're doing faithfully what he told you to do with those talents. That's what he's doing. It's very interesting. We receive the same reward whether we have large number or few number of talents. His Lord said to him, well done. Now look at verse 24. He that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Now here's my text. And I was afraid. And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I would have received mine own with interest. Listen, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. Holy God and Heavenly Father, we ask now thy blessing upon this, the teaching of thy word this morning. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. When I was a boy, I lived back in El Monte, California. I lived on a farm. I lived on a truck farm. You guys know what a truck farm is? You dumb kids, you raise trucks. What's the matter with this school? Don't they teach them? Oh, no, you don't raise trucks. You raise vegetables and things. And I was on this truck farm, and I could hardly wait for the middle of August to come around. You say, why? Well, Mr. Kassebaum, who was on the farm behind us, just north of us, had a bunch of Calcutta canes. And you know, they're the best fishing poles in the world. You get a big old fish on a Calcutta cane, that thing really gives you action. So we'd all say, Daddy, Daddy, can we go by and cut some Calcutta canes? He'd say, well, I'll call Kassebaum, see if they're ripe. And he'd just kind of pester Kassebaum. Kassebaum finally say, Bob, I'll call you when they're ripe. The boys can have a cane apiece, but I'll call you when they're ripe. So finally, middle of August, he'd call and say, I think they're ripe. Bring the machete and the boys can each have a cane. Well, we couldn't care less about his Calcutta canes. You see, we had 8 or 10 always aging in the barn loft. You say, well, then why were you at? Well, you had to go by a strawberry patch to get to the Calcutta cane patch, you see. And Kassebaum raised strawberries. I mean these great, big, they look like a drunk's nose with hairs on it, you know. One of those big ones. The kind you send out to other states to brag about, you know. He raised those big ones. You say, well, Shuler, didn't you raise... Yeah, we raised, tried to raise strawberries. But the birds would get them. You know, just as soon as they'd come to bud, they would be gone. You say, but then why did Casabom... Well, Casabom, you see, had a scarecrow. Casabom was a big Dane. He was 6'7", and he weighed 300 pounds on the hoof. And that guy was just huge, man. And he'd take an old pair of overalls, and he would stuff that thing with straw on a tee, and he would put cotton gloves on the end of it and stuff those with straw, you know. And then he would sew those things on, and on the top of this scarecrow, he'd put a broom, and he'd put a hat on that broom and a corncob pipe out of that thing. Then he'd put little tin can lids all underneath the arms, and he made it disjointed so that when the wind would blow, it would go clunk, you know, clunk. And it would scare those crazy birds to death. Sat right in the middle of that big old patch of berries, of strawberries. We come by, you know, to pick some strawberries, you know, that's what we wanted. And we look up here and here be three strands of barbed wire just lugged down with little bitty birds. Little things, linnets and finches and sparrows and starlings, you know. They'd be like, going, looking down at that terrible scarecrow. And then up here'd be six strands of telephone line. I mean, just loaded with little bitty birds, small birds, you know, going, looking at this scarecrow. But the interesting thing was to look in the midst of those beautiful berries. You'd see blackbirds walking. You can't scare a blackbird with a scarecrow. Those old boys would walk along, you know, and look, you know. Finally, they'd see a berry of their choice. They go, choo, 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 choo. Then they go, and land on the arm of this thing, you know. And they would, you know, wipe their beak and burp. Then they'd go down for the next one. Choo, 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 choo. They'd land down here, and you'd see these little birds. You could tell what they were saying. They'd look at each other and say, look yonder, look yonder. He got down there, didn't eat him up. I'll go if you go. Okay, I'll go if you go. Here go a couple of them. Brrr, down here. And the wind would go, thunk. And this thing would go, clang, clang. You go, ah, they come back up, you know, and they talk it over. And you know, I was reading this story in Matthew 25, and I said, that's the best scarecrow story I've ever heard in my life. Here's a man that was given a talent. Now, of course, they're talking of money to invest in that time. I'm talking of the talents that God gives you on this earth to produce for Christ. He gave him a talent to invest while his Lord was away. And he was afraid and he hid the thing. And he didn't get any reward out of it. What a sad story. What a sad story. I'm going to show you four scarecrows that scared this old boy off. They're the same ones that will try to scare you off here as you get your education. The first scarecrow is evident. It's the scarecrow of his own littleness. The scarecrow of his own littleness. He said, all I had was one talent. I look at yonder, that fellow over there. He had all those talents. Five talents, think of that. Why, all I had was one. If I had five, I could do more. But with one, what's the use of trying? Watch it now. Watch it. Here's a little old boy. He's on the back of a donkey. He's coming up a hill. Over here is all of Israel. They're all out by their tents. Over here is the Philistine crowd. And in front of them is a great big giant. He's over 7 foot tall. He's got a big spear the size of a weaver's beam. He beats himself in the chest and he says, bring out your champion. I'll chew him up and spit him out in bird bait. And little David said, hey brothers, who's big mouth? Shut up, kid. Don't get him riled. Yeah, but shut up, boy. Now, he's been coming out like that for weeks, challenging us to send a champion. But we don't respond. We have detente. Well, we're not winning, but we're sure not dead. Now, boy, you go on back and herd your sheep and leave the fighting done. Yeah, but listen, he said something about Jehovah I didn't like. No, boy, listen to me. You leave the men to the men's job. You're just a lad. He says, yes, but brothers, we have a cause. I love that text. We have a cause. Saul takes him in and gives him his armor. And David looks like a little shrimp in that thing. Boys, let me tell you something. Don't ever try to fill anybody else's shoes. I gave the school the shoes that Ma Sunday gave me that her husband passed away in, the great evangelist Billy Sunday's. I believe they were 9Bs. I'm almost a 12, but I can't fill them. You know, don't ever try to fill the shoes of somebody else. Don't ever try to be just exactly like. Really, honestly, that's been probably the thing that I fell into, and yet I'm glad I fell into it when I was here. I wanted to be just like Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Now, we all used to stand around when we'd practice to preach and do this, you know. We all thought that was the way to preach. But you know, I've never filled the shoes of Bob Jones Sr. You'll never fill the shoes of somebody else. Fill your own shoes. God gave you your own talents. So here he says, hey, listen, he says, I can't do that, but I'm good with a sling. What? He says, yeah, I'm good with the sling. I've killed a lion, a bear. I handle the sling real well. So he said, okay. So he goes out there, he picks out 5 stones from the brook. I heard a minister once say, he didn't have much faith in his shot, did he? No. He knew that Goliath had 4 brothers. His mighty men got them. He goes out there, you know, he puts that one rock in there and he goes, shoo, shoo. And I can see this gray, huge Goliath. Pow! He died laughing. You know, when I was a kid, my mother used to tell me that story. I'd say, tell it again, Mama. Tell it again. But I wouldn't have been really hurt. I wouldn't have been too disappointed had the Bible said the little boy in the back of a donkey coming up a hill. Over here's all of Israel in front of their tents. Here's all the Philistines. Big old Goliath with his spear the size of a weaver's beam beating himself in the chest saying, come on, send out your champions. I'll chew them up and spit them out and bird bait. And old David says, here's your lunch, boys. I hear Mama calling. I've got to go. Boom, see? But the fact of the matter is, he said, I've got a talent. It is much, but it can kill that giant. Huh? My dad was raised back in Grayson County, Virginia. He said he was raised so far back in the country the creek only ran twice a week. Dad said he went to a little red schoolhouse back there, and he said there was a boy that went to school with him by the name of Red. He said he never did know his name. But he said, during a summertime, my dad went into the fair, county fair there at Comer's Rock. There was a guy in the ring that said he could beat anybody in his weight class. Dad was in his weight class. So Dad got in the ring. He could win $5 if he could stay 3 rounds. Dad knocked him out in 17 seconds. So they put Dad in the ring, and all summer he fought people and won every one of them. Dad was a great fighter. Well, when he came back to school, his reputation preceded him. And Dad said in the first day of that school, he felt some eyes on him the last hour before the school ended. He looked over and Red was gauging him, looking up and down, looking at him. When the school's over, Dad went down the steps and there was Red standing at the bottom of the steps. He said, Bob, I bet I can whip you. Dad said, well, you're not going to get a chance because I don't want to fight you. He says, well, you're going to fight me. He said, I just know I can whip you. Dad says, well, you'll have to find out some other ways. Dad started to walk away. Boy lit on his back, bit his ear and began to pound him. Dad was as kind to the boy as he could. He's smaller. Dad pulled him out arm length and aimed real good where he wouldn't kill him, you know, and just popped him on the head. The boy's eye locked up in the top of his head and he fell down. And Dad started to walk toward the fork of the road where they would part. The boy's eyes finally focused and he looked, got up and spit and said, do that again, Bob. Dad would whip him again. Dad whipped him maybe 3 or 4 times before he got to the trail of the road. Then they would part. Dad realized you never whipped him. Dad said the boy come back the next day in school. One eye kind of closed up. His mouth puffed up a little bit. Last hour before school was over, those eyes would be on him again. He'd be gauging him. He'd come down those steps. He'd say, Bob, I know I can whip you now. Dad said he fought him through 3 McGuffey readers and whipped him every time. And he said he never did whip him. Dad went back when he was 45 years of age to hold a kind of a nostalgic revival there in the old Comer's Rock Methodist Church where he was saved. Dad said he didn't recognize the father because he'd gained a little weight and was kind of getting gray, but he recognized his 3 teenage sons, that all redheads and all looking him up and down, gauging him. He said, I wonder where I've seen those kids before. When the meeting was over, the father came up and said, "Bob, I bet I can whip you today." Dad said, "Red, I've often wondered what happened to you. What are you doing now?" I said, "I'm the president of the First National Bank of Comer's Rock." He said, "What? Were you schooled for that?" He said, "No, sir, I had no schooling." "Oh," he said, "you married into it." And I said, "I didn't marry anybody in the bank." He said, "Then Red, how did you become the president of the First National Bank in Comer's Rock?" Now get this, kids. He said, "Why, Bob, one day they made me an office boy. And after that, it was easy." Yeah, if you've got a talent and God gives you the ability, then do what He tells you to do. Don't let that one gift scare you away. Here's another scarecrow. And this scarecrow gets a lot of people. This is the scarecrow of unfavorable circumstances. "Oh, please don't ask me to play the piano, Pastor. I'm Mrs. Two Fingers. Mrs. Three Fingers plays the piano. And I'm not as good as she is. Now, I hear that there is a little church out in the country that has Mrs. One Fingers in it. Now, if I go out there, I know that I could serve God." No, you won't. You won't serve God anywhere except where God puts you. If you don't serve God where He leads you, then don't try to serve God where you go yourself. You'll never make it. Don't look at an unfavorable circumstance. Listen to me just a minute. The one that I admired so much, Dr. Bob Senior, said, "The door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition." If you don't have opposition in your life, you're not going to become a strong Christian. Thank God for every testing you have. Just get out there and do what God tells you to do. Greater is He that within us than he that is within the world. You remember that. Then here's the third scarecrow that's going to try to scare you off. That's the scarecrow of the possibility of failure. You know, everybody has that. I used to play a little football. When I was in the Navy, I played with the Cleveland Rams for 9 games. I remember old Sid Gilman and all these other guys, they'd come in there and tell us what to do. Then they had a guy who was a chief that he was supposed to whip us up. We were playing Green Bay this particular day, and he came in there and he said, "Now I want you guys to get out there," and he says, "I want you to tear them limb from limb. I mean, gouge out his eye, you know, and pull the teeth out. Blood, blood, blood." And I was up there saying, "Man, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go." And boy, they opened up those gates, and I ran out in the field going, "Ah!" And all the time I was saying, "I hope I don't get killed, you know." There's always the possibility of failure. But let me just write that one off right now, gang. If you are in the center of God's will, listen to me, if your calling is in the center of God's will and you're doing what God told you to do, you can't fail. Period. When you're doing what God tells you to do, God is forced to work for you. Read your Bible. That's what it's all about. Then here's the last one. That is the mistrust in His Lord. There's the fourth scarecrow. Mistrust in His Lord. He acted like his Lord was never coming back. He buried it in the ground. You know, we have a lot of people say, "Oh, I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ." I've seen this so many times among the people in churches. "Oh, Brother Shuler," I had a lady say, "I believe I'll be alive when Jesus comes." Then she told me about all of the trust accounts she had for her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. She talked about Jesus coming in her lifetime, but she's preparing that He would never come. Boys and girls, you listen to me. You're living in the greatest dispensation that we've ever seen, this world has ever seen. You're right in the shadow of the coming of Christ. I don't think there'll be 10% of you that'll ever die. I believe you'll be alive when Christ comes. And what you do, you've got to do quickly. Jesus is coming soon. He figured, this guy said, "Hey, wait a minute. My Lord's off on a battle, or He's off purchasing things, and if He's off in a battle, one of the kings dies. If He's off purchasing, he might be robbed by highwaymen. He might not come back, so I'll just bury it in the ground, and then I'll get a piece of all the action when the will's given out, but I've got $5,000 that he didn't even know about." See? He didn't really believe his Lord was coming back. Now, friends, you'll never be a good servant of God if you don't keep that right in the front of your mind all of your life. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. I've got to get this done. I've got to be faithful. Over in Luke, the story is that he took a napkin And he put it in a napkin and buried it. So let's just do this in closing here. I'll use these keys here as mine. There it is, the talent that God gave me. Now I'll tell you about it. Saturday night, I broke my back when I was 5. I stammered till I was 15. I couldn't talk, had to write everything on a paper on the blackboard. God called me to preach, and I was able to preach. But let's just say that when I was 15 years of age, I didn't accept the call to preach because I was frightened over my speech. So let's say now I'm standing at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and here the Lord calls my name. Phil Schuler, here I am, Lord. Phil Schuler, I called you to preach. Year after you were saved, liberated your lips. What did you do with it? Now let's just say, gang, that I didn't take the call to preach. Let's say that I became a plumber and a millionaire instead. See? So I say, oh Lord, you knew that Bob Schuler was my father. And Lord, there just wasn't a better preacher on the West Coast than Bob Schuler. I could never measure up to him. And Lord, my brother Jack was an evangelist at that time. And Lord, honestly, I couldn't touch the hem of his garment in ability. He had great ability. I stammered, Lord, I was the least of my brethren. Lord, I took that talent and I hid it in a napkin and buried it. Here, thou hast that is thine. What would I be handing my Lord back today, young people? I would be handing my Lord over 100,000 souls that I know have been saved in my ministry. Now you say, Schuler, they might have been saved another. Yeah, they might have been, but if I'd lost one, what a price to pay. I would be handing my Lord back over 15,000 young people that have been called into full-time service under my ministry. You say, well, after all, you're not the only preacher. They could have been called. That's true. But have we just missed one? Just one gap in the hedge, how many souls could go to hell through that? I'd be handing back to my Lord over 1,500 churches that I've been able to help and been able to bring in some tithing and some members and some souls. I would be handing back my Lord over 450 songs that I've written. Some of them, listen, I have seen people come to my meetings because I'm a songwriter that wouldn't walk across the street to hear the greatest preacher in the world, and I've seen them get saved. If I were to hand this back to my Lord today, look at the price I would have to pay when I stand before Him at the judgment seat. You take the talents that Almighty God gives you. You ask Him, Lord, please reveal to me what is my talent, and then exercise it, exercise it, exercise it. And God all of a sudden will sprout another one up right by you and say, hey, I didn't know I had that. He'll say, yes, well, you were faithful over the first. I'll give you another one now. You'll find yourself, if the Lord tarries, and you mature in the work, whatever work God calls you into, you'll find yourself multiplying the talents that God gave you when He left you on this earth. When you stand before Him someday, you'll hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Holy God and Heavenly Father, bless these young people. See that Thy word does not return void, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Chapel platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, just send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Just mention the speaker, Dr. Phil Schuler, the message titled The Parable of the Talents, and also be sure to mention today's date. The Chapel platform has been sponsored by Bob Jones University. Please join us again for the Chapel platform.